Oh, welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga pre-market prep show. And Joel, usually we dive into certain stocks, especially when it was earnings season, and analyze just how they were reacting before the earnings and after the earnings. But in this segment, I want to take more a broad look at, first and foremost, the U.S. equity markets. And you know what? As much as we have day-to-day pops and day-to-day sell-offs, which today is definitely one of those sell-offs, and a lot of these pops and sell-offs come on the back of news, it does seem like the overall trend for U.S. markets, at least in my eyes, is very much sideways with a bit more pessimism creeping in. But this is also at the same time when, not that long ago, they were peaking their heads at all-time highs. And, well, before today, they were only about 5% from new all-time highs, which now they're a little bit further away. But what do you have to say about the overall strength or overall weakness that you're getting from these U.S. markets?
Let me check my Twitter feed.
Yeah, that's pretty much all it takes, right?
Because that really is the only thing that seems to matter in the market. You know, being on the show, I like to pick levels and I like to correspond those levels to moves in the market. And a couple weeks ago on Friday, we had that close, comfortable close above 2,900 at 2,930. We had the quick sell-off, the quick rebound, and the market, you know, if you wanted to lighten up at a particular level, the market gave you a couple shots. Now, are you going to get that another shot again is the question. Underlyingly, I mean, your oil stocks. The oil stocks are flat or unchanged when oil rallies $2. And then when oil falls to $3, they, you know, get a 1 or 2 or 3% haircut. And the thing that's a little troubling about the oil sector is, you know, in these stocks, and believe me, I'm not proclaiming any of these stocks to go under, but what about the banks that are tied to these stocks, right? That have loans and are waiting to get money back from them. So, man, there's a lot of negatives. I mean, look at Macy's today. They come out with retail, you know, they come out with their numbers that are absolutely horrible. The market hits it on that. So you got a weak oil market. You got a weak retail sector. You got an inverted yield curve. I don't know if everybody just woke up today and, you know, decided it was inverted, but or it's more inverted. So it's just so many negative things in the market. It's hard to get, you know, it's hard to get in here and discriminately buy the dip. And then you add in the factor that the source of strength in the market has been the tech stocks. Well, now you have an administration, the Justice Department, the FTC, that is going after those. So where's the strength going to come in this market? I don't know. I mean, are we just all going to wait till rates go to zero? So when you see that many different sectors and that weakness across the board, you got to think that, you know, we're in for a little bit more of a correction.
Yeah, you really do. And let's break down some of these different sectors that you mentioned there, starting with the oil market. Oil has generally been weak, but you know what? It hasn't completely collapsed and fallen out of bed. But really, when you look around the world with slow growth everywhere and, quite frankly, trade wars still perking up, it does seem like there isn't a whole lot of drivers behind the oil market. But one thing we even talked about on this show a couple years ago was just how the banks were positioned in oil stocks for the case that if oil dropped and these oil stocks really started to struggle and even went under, then the banking system would get hit. This, I guess, is also a concern to you. Plus, there just doesn't seem to be, as I said, that driver to oil. Could this be a sector that encourages or helps significantly bring down the markets?
Well, I mean, also, Corey, you have to look at this like trends, you know, secular trends, right? And where's the trend? The trend is going more green, right? The trend is going electric. The trend is going to solar, right? Everything is going in that direction, just like the trend for people is eating healthier. Now, I mean, these fast food stocks are, you know, really not reflecting that. Maybe that's the only thing that, you know, people can afford nowadays when they go out to dinner. But it's the trends. It's long-term secular trends. And oil is just, you know, we're finding substitutes for oil. Maybe they're more expensive or maybe they're going to take longer to develop. But it's just a trend. It's just an undeniable trend And when you stand in front of the, you know, in front of a trend, you get run over. And that's certainly, you know, Rig Transocean was $160 stock. Halliburton was a, you know, $60, $70 stock. Look what they're doing to Occidental Petroleum. I mean, there's a set, whether it's to go out and buy the solar stocks, you know, I can't tell you that. But there's secular trends going on that you just can't ignore. Then you tie that to the bank exposure, and you have a recipe for disaster. I mean, how are the banks, you know, whatever debt, I mean, there's going to be some write-downs. There's going to be some pain in that sector. And lower rates don't even seem to be the panacea of the market because everyone's panicking that rates are going lower and we're going into recession. So there's just a lot of negative things going on. Sometimes that's a good time to buy. But I think I've stated on the show over the last couple of weeks that, man, I just, until this election, until there's more clarity in the White House, it's just hard to indiscriminately buy the dip.
Yeah, it really is. And you know what? We usually do see a lot of uncertainty heading into elections. And that's also one other issue that the U.S. has is the election season is so long that that uncertainty perks up early and sticks around. And you know what? That election is still a long way off. So a lot of uncertainty. But that also ties into this yield curve inversion. We do finally have the 10-year under the 2-year, which just broke today. But we've seen many other time frames of inverted yield curves. This does, you know what, point to a recession 1 to 2 years out. Plus your comment of, are we just waiting for rates to go to zero? Maybe, but that didn't seem to help any other economies. So right now it does seem fairly early on in this game of inverted yield curve and rates continuing to go lower.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Do I want to put my money in the bank and have to pay the money? I mean, there's, you know, if there's anything that you've seen, you know, from Europe and overseas, that necessarily lower rates is not going to do it. And that's what the market wants. I mean, you know, the constant, recession fears along with what's going on in Hong Kong, the trade war. I mean, so many uncertainties in this market. And like I said, unfriendly administration to the tech companies. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, show me a positive. Show me what's good. And it's hard. We had a decent earnings season, and that didn't really seem to move the needle much. In fact, most of those stocks were big fades off their earnings report. But, you know, I don't want your listeners, like, jumping off of buildings and getting, you know, over-bearish because, I mean, I don't see the recession, okay? Maybe I didn't see the financial crisis in 2007, 2008. You know, here, looking out my window, Detroit, Michigan, where's the recession? I don't see it. But everyone's telling me. If I don't see it and everyone's telling me it's going to happen, then, you know, you get me leaning that way. So, I mean, there's bullish factors, there's bearish factors. I think you just have to look at where you're at in your investment horizon. You have to, you know, if you're getting up near retirement or you have a kid going to college or you want to buy a new house or a new car or something, and you're waiting for the Dow to get, this one lady I talked to at the pool, I'm waiting for 30,000. I'm like, well, hey, didn't it get to 27, 28? She goes, no, I'm just going to wait to sell at 30. And I'm like, that's just an indiscriminate number. So I think you have to look at your portfolio. You have to see where you're at on your time horizons in investment and make the appropriate decisions. You can't panic in these markets when, you know, it's best to evaluate it when, you know, the market's closed, when you have a chance to look at things and, consult your investment advisor. You know, they're the one that helped you buy the stocks and just have to look at, you know, what best suits your needs.
Now, what about also trying to ignore these outside factors like Twitter, like the headlines that drive the market? We even touched on it at the very beginning, but what we're trying to do in this segment is ignore these underlying headlines. The problem is they just cause so much day-to-day volatility that people seem to get sucked in. What have you been saying on your show about just how dominant these headlines have been and the ability for anybody to maybe ignore them?
It's just unfathomable. I mean, what would happen if you didn't tweet for, you know, a month or 2 months or didn't pick on the Fed? and let things play out. I mean, for the advice that I have to people that are trying to intraday day trade this thing, right, and be involved, like, I was short the market yesterday off the open. My indicators lined up to say, hey, we have some weakness, but you know what? I had to stop it on the short positions, and they were hit, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm out. And instead of reacting and, like, revenge trading and say, oh, I'm going to try it again, I'm like, hey, you know, I tried. I was wrong. You know, then you have to reevaluate. So if you're going to try and trade these intraday swings, you know, have good risk-reward ratios. The other thing that I tell people, and, you know, I've seen a lot, you know, I've trained a lot of traders. When the markets get like this, put orders out there. Don't sit there and stare at the screen, you know, because you will get, if you put an offer out there, you know, it will get, people are just looking for liquidity. So don't be afraid to put your orders out there. Don't be afraid to put stops in there. Be aggressive, but, you know, have your levels and, you know, don't add the losing positions in a market like that. That, you know, from a day trading perspective, you know, retry it, you know, instead of buying, getting stopped out. Okay, try again, maybe in another level, but just, you know, pyramiding and ballooning down, it just doesn't pay. And I would just say, you know, stick to, you know, your fundamental, you know, your trading logic, which is hard to do when the markets get like this, and keep a close eye on the overnight action, because that's when the big boys are out. And a lot of times, you know, like today, you tried to fight the trend of the overnight market and you got plowed. So I prefer to observe the overnight markets, trade the overnight markets, and, you know, wake up and then, well, you know, check them during the night periodically. The open is a good time because the stocks are closed from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. So, you know, competing in the middle of the day like this is very competitive. I would say try and take, you know, after the market's closed, look at the after hours and pre-market action, set your game plan, and then follow through.
All right, Joel, we're going to wrap it up there. Good chatting with you, though, and I know just how frustrating these markets can be, but I think the real takeaway here is the underlying weakness that I think everybody sees, even as the Fed is trying to get easier, but there's a number of other factors that will, I think, continue to push these markets sideways at best. Joel, great chatting with you. Everyone, click the link below. Go visit the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show website, and you can listen to all of the recordings from Joel and his team over at Benzinga. Joel, thanks for your time.